Welcome back on into the Nick Abraham Saturday Sports Wrap-Up Show here on AM 930, 100.3 FM, WEOL show, also online over at WEOL.com. Here to talk some Cleveland Cavaliers basketball with us, a good buddy of mine from back in our collegiate days. It's Spencer Davies from BasketballNews.com. Spencer, how are we doing today, man?
What's going on, Rocco?
Hanging in there. Look, before we started recording here today, you were kind of letting me in on this NBA Top Shot with it's kind of like this new cryptocurrency trading card virtual sort of thing. So I know you told me you weren't like the best at explaining it, but if you could give like a quick like minute breakdown to our listeners what that's all about, I think they'd find it pretty interesting.
Man, I'll tell you, it's basically just like the stock market, but with NBA and also virtual trading cards. Like, it's essentially, it's really in its infancy still. But players are really getting on board with it. The league is invested in it, as well as the Players Association. It's a licensed thing. But basically, it's just, if you're able to buy low right now, it has to do a lot with crypto. I'm not really good with crypto, like you just said. But if you're able to get in and get the moments cheap, you don't know what those can turn into. And, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, there are some that go for resale. For like thousands of dollars. I wish I could really do a better job of explaining it, but the way I look at it, it's like a combination of collectibles and the NBA's own stock market, basically what I say.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it's certainly been blowing up on Twitter and all different social media platforms. You know, you got players talking about it, big time fans talking about it. So, that was very interesting kind of hearing you talk about it and what that's all about, because I know a lot of people are getting into that right now. So interesting stuff for sure. We can get into the Cavaliers, man, and boy, kind of an interesting end to the first half of the season for them. They go on that 10-game losing streak, they win four in a row, and they wrap things up taking the L against the Indiana Pacers. Spin, how detrimental was that month of February to this team in terms of maybe trying to make a playoff push in the Eastern Conference?
Well, luckily, the first point is I'm going to make to you is that nobody has made themselves separate from anybody in the Eastern Conference. So it really didn't hurt them all too much. If you just look at how bunched up the standings are in the East, it's ridiculous, man. Like, you have the bottom tier teams separated from the fourth seed, for example, by like three or four games, and we're at the halfway mark. But that 10-game losing streak, man, I'll tell you, as much as it sounds like excuse making, that schedule was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just look at it from the top to the bottom. You start out, with the Clippers at home, play the Bucks twice. You go onto the West Coast, have a close one with the Suns, get the doors blown off in Denver and Portland, and then the last two of those were blowouts as well. But I mean, I'm thinking to myself, these guys had not had practice. They have not been able to gel with one another. They had new pieces, parts like Jared Allen and Torian Prince coming in. They had the Andre Drummond situation happen on that road trip. So you have that, and add it into the games were not stopped coming. Like, they were, you know, had back-to-backs. They had, you know, 3-5s, whatever you want to call it. And it really hurt them. So they get back home, and, you know, it didn't look good against Denver. But that was to be expected because it was Denver. I think the turning point was when they really didn't show up against the Thunder, a team that was really on their level.
Mm-hmm.
As far as where they are in the franchise building and rebuilding process. So I think that they took that one to heart. And what happened was they finally, you know, made it click against a couple of these, you know, other teams that aren't that, you know, great. You had the Hawks, who were reeling, just days before firing Lloyd Pierce. And then you have the Rockets, who were, you know, on a really bad stretch. They still have not won a game since Christian Wood got hurt. But you'll take them how you can get them. You did see the Cavs go into Philadelphia and win a shocker against a 76ers team that had Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, who are on top of the conference. So that was huge for a confidence boost. I think there was a really big factor in that winning streak, and that was Dean Wade entering the starting lineup. You had, you know, in previous times, you had Jetty Osman and Torian Prince, Lamar Stevens. You know, those guys, they're more of like wing players. So you were playing them up a position. They were playing against guys with bigger bodies that would be out-rebounding them. And when Wade entered the starting lineup, he ended up getting, you know, really good returns just as far as crashing the defensive glass and providing an opportunity to space the floor. Almost, you know, you can laugh at this, but almost like a Kevin Love, where he created lanes for the guards to drive because he's out there stretching the floor and, a perimeter threat. I mean, even in the loss against the Pacers that you just mentioned, he went 5 of 8 from three. So I think just crashing the glass defensively was huge for them in that stretch. And, I mean, listen, that the last game before the break, the one they lost to the Pacers, they shot themselves in the foot on that one. I don't think it was more or less what the Pacers did, but what they did to themselves as far as the turnover gap went. But overall, I think that they're feeling good. They want Darius Garland to get healthy. He was holding his groin the last couple of games. You could clearly tell when he was taking it to the rim, he would be grabbing at it, both in Houston and against the Pacers. So they want to get that, you know, right. And then you have Larry Nance Jr. waiting in the wings to come back after the break. And I know I'm rambling here, but that pretty much be my explanation for how things went in February and towards the beginning of March here.
One of the big things that you mentioned in there, and Spencer Davies, our guest here from basketballnews.com. Spencer, one of the things you mentioned there from that first half, as we all know, the Andre Drummond trade talks, he gets sat down and hasn't been playing ever since, you know, basically trying to put together trade packages for him. What kind of return could Cavs fans expect for Andre Drummond? It seems like we got him for basically nothing last year. Is that kind of what we would expect to get back if we were to ship him out?
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head, and it's funny because a lot of people like come up with these random trade scenarios where Cavs get gold back for a center on a $28.7 million contract expiring.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen. The goal of an Andre Drummond trade is simple, and that's to provide the proper space for Jarrett Allen to grow with this team and this young core, because the young core is established. It is Colin Sexton, it is Darius Garland, Isaac Okoro, and Jared Allen. So when that happened, when that trade happened for Jared Allen, I think what happened was they didn't expect it. I think that Andre Drummond could have been a long-term piece of the organization, but you know, they kind of struck gold in that deal, and it kind of altered plans a little bit. So you know, they came to a mutual agreement with Drummond to, you know, sit him out, make sure he doesn't get injured. And, you know, I think finding a suitor for him is not going to be easy in a one-on-one deal. There are some deals that I've detailed on basketballnews.com when the news did drop a few weeks ago. I think some partners you could possibly see are the Dallas Mavericks. I could see the Sacramento Kings potentially, and the New York Knicks is one that I've really thought about, just because multiple of these scenarios, there's players in there that, one, have been being showcased, and two, haven't been in the rotation, you know, before, you know, the trade talks are potentially going to heat up at the 25th deadline of March. So Those are three teams that I could see doing something. But again, don't rule out the possibility of a three-team trade. We know what Kobe Altman's done in the past. He's helped facilitate trades. You never know if a team will pay back the favor. But I am not going to expect a haul back for Andre Drummond, even though it will take a haul to match his contract in order to make it work if it was a one-for-one deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Spencer Davies, our guest here from basketballnews.com. You mentioned Jared Allen. Did you expect what we've gotten out of Jared Allen here in Cleveland? I mean, what a job by Kobe Altman in that deal, huh?
A absolute steal, man. I have no idea what the Nets were thinking. It was almost like I can't explain it, man. I really don't. I don't know how to explain it. But you talk about somebody who just knows what he's good at and sticks to his strengths, and that is Jared Allen. And the funny part is, and what we don't talk about, is we know what he's good at right now, but just imagine when they give him the freedom to go outside of the box and really take over a game. Like you saw against the Rockets in the second game of the winning streak, where he just went ballistic, had 26 points, 18 rebounds, four blocks. I mean, there's so much potential there. You see him stepping out to the three-point line sometimes now, too, in that stretch, where he's not taking a ton of them, but the ability to be able to stretch the floor in the, you know, in the future, that's something to think about. But just defensively, I just think he sees things happen before they happen. And he just has this, like, knack to make quick decisions on both ends. When he's setting a screen, he's able to either slip or he's able to dart to the rim really quickly. He's able to create looks for his teammate. A high handoff threat, as we've seen. There's so many lobs coming his way. I don't know how many he's seen in the last week, but Darius Garland and Colin Sexton are doing a great job of finding him. And then on the defensive end, he's just such a deterrent. One, guys don't want to come into the paint, and when they do, that's when they're going to get a leather sandwich and get stuffed. I mean, he's just so good, and he's so his basketball IQ is through the roof. And for a 22-year-old who's in his fourth season, that's like you can't beat that in at the center position. There's no way you can beat that.
Yeah, IQ-wise, he's been very impressive. His defensive rotations, to me, like the way he kind of sees drives happening before they happen and getting himself in position
reacting
to contest
to the
shot.
Roll, man, yep. Like before the pass is made. Like there's just so many things, these little things that you can pick out. And he's just a brilliant, brilliant kid. Like, and it's been the story of his career. He's always been this like savvy, like knowledgeable person, and that goes off the floor as well. That dude's into like NASA, and he's into, you know, like anime. He's all sorts of smart.
Yeah, certainly a fun guy to have here in Cleveland for sure. Spencer, just a couple more here before we let you go. Your thoughts on JB Bickerstaff now that we have a bit of a larger sample size and kind of a break now to evaluate him. We only had, what, the 8 games last year. Now with a full half season under his belt, what do we make of JB?
He's the guy. You know, a lot of people are pointing the finger during that losing streak, and I think that was more of an onus on the players to look themselves in the mirror and come out with the compete level that they've been asking of them. There's been a lot of concerns about the offensive end and how the Cavs were not taking the proper shots and going inside and taking floaters and mid-rangers that were twos, twos, twos like it was back in the older days. But he has really, really put an emphasis on shooting threes. And you can see that from the Cavs as of late, how they've been just so open to shooting these threes and to spreading the floor and letting, you know, Colin get into the lane. But Colin himself as well, I have to mention, has been more, you know, active in shooting those threes, just coming off of handoffs and pick and rolls. When guys go under, he's pulling up. That's what they need. They need to continue to take these threes at the rate that they have, because You have to be able to keep up with NBA offenses. There's no way you can get around that fact. And they've really made it a point to fire them up from deep. Even if they're not making them, they're going to keep shooting them. And that's what the coaches have put on them. But as far as JB goes, the way that he's kind of kept them together with the injuries, you know, Larry Nance Jr. goes out, you know, Darius Garland's missed games here and there, Colin Sexton missed a stretch with his ankle injury. You know, like, he had two-way guys out there playing big-time minutes, like Lamar Stevens, somebody who I think could possibly earn a regular contract the way the minutes he's given. You know, he's had to put Dean Wade out there, and he's finally, you know, started to find himself after all this time, but it was a necessity in some of these games because of the injuries, because of the situation, like the Andre Drummond deal, where he kind of had his hand forced to play these guys who didn't have much experience. when you can't space the floor, when you can't defend, when you're not really connected because of all of this missing practice time, that's what you saw on that 10-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because we go back to Jared Allen. Jared Allen kept telling us, he's like, I know that I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but it's going to take time. And if you can stick together through a stretch like that and stick together through just losing constantly for almost the entirety of a month and come back and win four straight the way they did before this close loss to Indiana, that's a testament to the coaching staff and that they've kept them from fracturing, they've kept them from pointing the finger at one another. It's a good sign. It's a good sign. And they've had a lot of wins, too, this season. Like, they swept the Nets and they swept the Sixers. those are the types of wins that are really going to set you apart when it comes to this rebuilding process. It's not always going to look pretty, but mm-hmm. I feel like Bickerstaff and his coaches that are his assistants and whatnot have done a good job of just keeping things together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, high highs and low lows for young struggling NBA teams that are just sort of middling at the moment. But I'm with you there, Spencer. I think JB has done a very nice job with what he's been given. And yeah, I think a little patience for the fans could go a long way.
Think about this. They're 14-22, right at the break. They won 19 total games last season.
Mm.
Like, if there's a steady climb and a steady progress, then you should be happy as a Cavs fan.
That's great perspective right there. Wow, I didn't even really look at it like that. Yeah, almost at your win total from last year, and we're just at the halfway point. So, yeah, great perspective from you there, Spencer. Last one before I let you get out of here, man. So, you know, if you are a Cavs fan, what's one thing you'd like to see this team improve on or take a step forward in the second half of this season?
That's a really good question. I think Isaac Okoro has shown that starting to get more confident when he has the ball in his hand. I know they were, spotting him up a lot. He was a little hesitant on shooting the ball. But if you watch these games as of late, he's been more confident taking the ball off the dribble. He's been more confident in just letting it fly from deep. I think the progression of Isaac Okoro is something that I would look out for. Darius Garland, the same thing for me. He's been good all year, don't get me wrong. But I feel like in this stretch of winning, you've seen the flashes of what he can be. Now, if he can get healthy and figure out that groin situation, the way that he's been distributing the ball and Colin has been playing off of the ball, the way that he's used Darius uses the baseline so well when he turns the corner, because now that teams are expecting the floater, he's been able to do the little shovel pass to Jared Allen or JaVale McGee inside. He's been able to use the floater to his advantage to go underneath and do reverse layups instead of using that same floater. He's really kind of come up with counter moves, I guess, offensively, that have really stuck out to me. The team defensively, they need to keep this up. They need to keep, the deflections coming. They need to keep the communication coming. It's only going to get better when Larry Nance Jr. comes back. I think, reverting to the defensive habits that they had before, seeing what Larry Nance and Jarrett Allen can do as a duo, I think will be really fun to watch. And also, we haven't even mentioned Kevin Love, who hasn't played a game since December.
Right.
We'll see what happens in that situation. Who knows how they're going to divvy up the lineups and, change the rotations up. And that's been the story of the season for the Cavs this year. And a lot of NBA teams, to tell you the truth, is just the differences in lineups and not having continuity. Notice when they had some continuity during that four-game winning streak that they started to play better. And, get everybody healthy and, watch them grow.
There you go. Plenty of things to look forward to from this young, improving Cavaliers team in the second half of the season. Spencer Davies from BasketballNews.com was our guest here this morning. Again, BasketballNews.com is where you can check out his stuff. Spencer, thank you so much for the insight here today, man. I appreciate the time as always. You have a great, safe weekend, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up again soon.
Sounds good. And for those who want to get into Top Shot, I did have to do this.
Uh-oh.
BasketballNews.com/Top Shot. That is how you can enter our giveaway. So make sure you go visit that, and you'll have the instructions there, and you could end up with a very rare LeBron James moment.
Get in on it, folks. Get in on it. I can't recommend it enough after my conversation with Spin. You better do it. Spencer, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, Rocco.